This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 1, Overall Process Support Outreach Issue, held on the 4th of October, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Sarah. Please begin. And Sarah, this is Terry. If you're speaking, we're unable to hear you.
Hello?
Hi. I can hear you now.
Okay. I disconnected and came back on. Yay. Okay, great. Sorry about that, folks. This is Sarah Bakke, and Beth and I will be co-chairing this working group today. Thank you all for joining us. Today we're going to continue our discussion a bit on the accreditation, as well as hopefully get to starting some discussion on applicant support and any other business. So hopefully this would be a pretty concise discussion today. If anyone has any updates to their SOIs, please let us know now. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone, so I assume we're all good. With that, I will turn it over to Krista. Krista, you can go ahead.
Thanks, Sarah. I'm going to be going through the two different topics that Sarah just mentioned, the accreditation programs, which is topic one, and then the applicant support. So if we go to the first slide on the accreditation program, there was some discussion that was brought up today from Donna on whether or not we should defer this topic to a later date. And ironically enough, after the last call, I did do a little bit of work around Steve's comment last time around whether or not you even need an accreditation program. So I thought the first bit to kick off would be why we do need it. And to me, I think, or at least my own opinion is, it would be the most efficient and effective way that we can move our way through the process of TLD delegation without repeating the same tasks and also saving a whole bunch of money on not repeating the same items over and over and over without any benefit. So from my perspective, we would be saving on focusing on the added value activities rather than the repetitive activities. If anyone else has some kind of questions or thoughts on this, it'd be greatly appreciated, and feel free to speak up now. Donna, I see your hand raised. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sorry, Christy. I was late joining the call. I've been waiting on the in the other Adobe room.
No worries. I did the same thing earlier.
Oh, I did request that we defer this conversation because I wanted to get my head around the issue and also go back to some of the conversations we've had before about this issue in the bigger working group and also in this this work track team, because we seem to be providing reasons why accreditation would be a good thing, but we haven't really got to, I think we did have some discussion really early on about some of the challenges that applicants faced in responding to the technical answers. We haven't really had a conversation from, around what challenges there are for RSPs with the process in terms of, there are some challenges with PDT and having to do that every single time you want to take a registry operator, through the PDT process. You know, from ICANN's perspective, they would like to streamline, some of the processes they used in the 2012 round, so they had jumped to the conclusion that accreditation may be the way to do that. You know, I had suggested that perhaps we should go back and look at these, this issue from the perspective of the applicant, from the registry operator, from the RSP, from ICANN, and try to get to an understanding of what are the problems we're trying to solve here. And I know, Jeff and I seem to be at loggerheads on this, but until I have a chance to go back and have a look at what we've done before, I really don't want to move too far down the track, on this topic. And I'd really appreciate some time, if that's possible, to, get my head around that, bearing in mind that I do work for one of the primary RSPs, so I think we have a lot to contribute on this topic, so I really would appreciate the opportunity if we can defer this discussion now, and I will undertake to have, I will have at that time gone back to the earlier discussion we've had on this list, also stuff, conversations that were undertaken at the GDD summit, and also some discussions that are going on in the registry stakeholder group. So, I apologise for the lateness in getting to this call, but I really would appreciate the opportunity to defer this conversation until I've had the opportunity to go back over what we've already discussed. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Would it be an acceptable kind of way to go make a little bit of progress on this today and bring up a couple items? That I've kind of did a little bit of work on and hope that it helps, and then give you some time afterwards to then add more information and other data points to perhaps the wiki or the other, our documents and or to bring up at the next meeting. A whole bunch of people typing. Aubrey says there's going to be multiple passes through each topic. Oh, sorry, Jeff, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
That's okay. Thanks. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm trying not to talk too loud because a kid's sleeping in the next room. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript. Yeah, I think Aubrey kind of covered it. We're going to be going over this topic several times, and we've been talking about it for weeks. We actually, if you go back to the original, it's probably been several months. I don't think deferral is the answer. I think we should just continue the discussion. Donna, if you have some things you want to add in this conversation, that's great. If you want to add it afterwards, that's totally fine as well via email. We absolutely would appreciate Newstar's comments, just to correct the notes on the side. It's Donna's comments were on behalf of Newstar, not ARI, I think is what it says on the right-hand side, so if we can correct that. I put some reasons in the chat as well, the seven of the reasons we talked about much earlier on about PDT as to why it benefits each of the parties that Donna was talking to. It wasn't just about PDT, Donna. It was about the hundreds of clarifying questions that RFPs received, the inconsistent evaluation results from evaluators, ICANN's inability to streamline their own processes when asking the clarifying questions because they couldn't just take one answer that was given once from a registry service provider and then apply it all the way to every single application that the registry service provider supported. It also helps in the process for providing for greater choice in back-end registry providers in the sense that front-end registries will know that their selected back-end has met the criteria established by ICANN in the application process, looking at quicker time for delegation, increases portability, which is always good to increase competition. These are all reasons that were discussed for the past several months, though I do agree with you that we should, and I asked on the last call if we could go back to the GDD summit if there were recordings or notes taken to provide those pluses and minuses that were expressed during that call as well. Or, sorry, not call, that summit. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Crystal for the transcript. I didn't actually find any notes on the GDD summit, and I haven't had a chance to review them on to see if I couldn't find them. Taking a different step, going another way just for a couple of minutes here, is that when I did do some research on the different activities and how we might benefit by doing, you know, an accreditation program, I came across some of the initial documents, I think, I'm not sure, oh, they were dated October 2009, where it actually breaks out the phase four activities, which is the negotiation. Sorry, I'm looking at slide two. The phase four activities were the negotiation, the contract execution, the packages prepared for review and approval, final approval. And then the ones with where I have the arrows at are potential areas that we obviously can save a bunch of time and or money. So one of them is the coordination for testing, perform the test, coordination for testing, the IANA test, and the delegation. So whether or not we include that in the certification process, and I'm using the word certification here, but we can change it to different terminology. You can say it's, you know, a pre-approved provider or something along that lines, but just for sake of discussion purposes right now, I'm just using certification. And then if I move a little bit forward onto the next slide, which is slide four, the different ideas around the certification costs. The initial phase four costs were estimated at about $15,000 with a 77% probability of accuracy. So a certified back-end provider, we could potentially save around, let's ballpark it at $7,000, although I don't want to get caught up into a costing method here. I just kind of an idea of where the costs are. And then it also kind of brings up on how we would move forward if we were to do something like this. For instance, would we say, you know, the first certification, excuse the term again, is, you know, perhaps $7,000, which is the first time, and then it decreases after that, and then what would be the basis of that? And then secondly, how would it would be renewed? Would it be on a yearly basis? Would it be periodic? Would it be some other method? And then perhaps another consideration would be the volume of registries that are supported, or is it the domains, or is it some other method? And I kind of raised those as questions or for discussion where we can gather maybe some ideas that could be helpful.
Krista?
Yes?
I wanted to note that Donna has her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Donna. Sorry.
Thanks, Krista. Donna Austin. So while I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you have on the slides, I would say that this is the only option that we have considered in terms of it resolving some of the problems or the issues that we've identified. And I think if we're going to give this the best shot, we actually should consider whether there are other options available. You know, I did ask on a previous call that we actually revisit what we're doing now and how that could be improved to resolve some of the problems that we've identified. So I think my problem here is that we seem to have jumped to one solution. And it doesn't matter what you call it, Jeff, it's jumped to one solution. So what I'd like to do is have a little bit more conversation around what are the other options that are available to us. We have a provider that is, that has conducted PDT for all of the, you know, applicants that have gone through this round. So can we make improvements in that process? Is it necessary to do PDT every time when you have the same RSP? Is it really, you know, do the questions that were identified in the technical part of the application, are any of those questions still relevant? What is the requirement if we're trying to ensure security and stability of the internet? You know, isn't that supposed to be a primary consideration? So I don't know. We seem to have jumped to one conclusion. And that's my problem here, is that we haven't actually given any consideration to any other possible solutions. And I really think, to do this credit, we need to at least go through that exercise. If it ends up being that it's RSP accreditation or some kind of pre-certification, then so be it. But we actually haven't done this due diligence from my perspective.
Thanks, Donna, and noted. It might be we can add it to the agenda for next meeting, and Sarah, if you're okay with that, I think we should do that on a topic for possible solutions. I also see, Jeff, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I agree that it is a solution we're considering. I haven't seen any other solutions proposed. If you or anyone else would like to propose other solutions, that's fantastic. That's great. I just don't think it's very fair to say that we defer and not consider it as a solution until such time as others are presented. I think it's fine if you want to present other solutions. Again, remember, it's not just PDT. It's every part of the process, and also would address, you know, competition and other arguments. So it was also suggested by ICANN staff in their implementation report. But, yeah, absolutely. If there are other solutions, please present them. I think we should consider all of them, but none at this point have been presented. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Out of curiosity, sorry, it's Krista for the record. Out of curiosity, is there a map that lists all of the processes that are in it? I'm guessing I'm addressing that to anyone who might know or can provide that, a document or link or something.
I see Aubrey has her hand up.
Aubrey, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Aubrey. I'm just wondering. I very much agree with the looking at multiple solutions, and even in terms of determining, you know, exactly what problem we're trying to solve here, so that we know. Now, Jeff listed a whole bunch of advantages and good things that came out of doing this. I'm wondering, are all those necessary things? Are all those goals that we have? They seem a good set of goals. I'm also wondering, I haven't heard anybody discussing the downsides of doing this, so I'm wondering whether we also need to spend a little time looking at because if there is a perfect solution at hand and it meets all of our all of our requirements, and we've got no lived downsides, you know, it makes it harder to say, well, gee, let's look for something else, especially since we know that there's, you know, greater interest in doing this in GDD or whatever. But if there are downsides, those are probably good to discuss. And picking out the requirements, you know, which are the things that, for example, Jeff listed that are kind of necessary or seem to be necessary going forward, which kind of things are kind of nice to have but don't matter that much. Maybe there is no discriminating between the two, but that might be a level of analysis we can go to, and that will also show us where the requirements are. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. Cecilia, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead. Cecilia, we can't hear you yet. So you're speaking.
I'm sorry, are you asking for Jeff or Cecilia?
Cecilia.
Oh, sorry, I saw Jeff before me. Yes, I just wanted to make more of a logistic point of, you know, with these types of conversations, I think it would be really helpful if we can circulate this via email. And I'm saying that just, I don't think I'm, you know, that out of place here where some of these calls are at ungodly hours for some of us. And I think I actually have a benefit where I'm on the West Coast, so it's doable, but at the same time, I do have to be quiet when my child's sleeping and I'm commuting at, you know, 5 in the morning. And I just think it would be easier to get more input from folks who can focus a little bit better if we can circulate some of these, you know, specific questions and thoughts through email so that we have some time to think about it versus trying to be on a call while we're driving and whatnot. So I see that. I did send an email out earlier. I'm not sure everyone received it on the distribution list, but I think we should utilize that channel to try to get more input from folks for these specific issues. And that's just what I just wanted to communicate on this specific point here.
Thanks, Cecilia. I think that's a really great point, and we'll add that to perhaps a better way to address some of the downsides and pick out the requirements for next week. So, great point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I also am in favor of trying to move some of these discussions or have them on email as well. I'm just want to address a couple comments I saw on the chat about referral to the GDD Summit. The reason that I referred to the GDD Summit and others have is because there was an extensive discussion that took place between registries, front-end registries, and also registry service providers and registrars that were there, which I think we could circulate those notes to provide one or a few aspects of the accreditation program. I think it's helpful so that we can gather input from maybe applicants who weren't at the summit or just other groups to see the good discussions. And I think you'll find in those notes, which is pretty comprehensive, both those that supported it and those that did not. There's also notes on what problems we're trying to address. So one thing that we could take offline as an action item is to prepare a document on the at least what we've collected to date from the GDD Summit and other discussions of this group to the problems we're trying to solve, the advantages. And there are some disadvantages, too, that were pointed out at the GDD Summit. So we can list those as well and then talk about some of these other items that are on these slides. So I think, again, this is not something we're making a decision on today or likely on the next call or even in the next few weeks, but something that's an ongoing discussion. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I think it's a great work plan going forward, and we'll see how we can make progress on that as quickly as possible. Cecilia, I see you have your hand up. I'm not sure if that's an old hand or a new hand. Oh, no hand. Okay. Is there anything else that we need to address around accreditation now, or should we kind of put it a little bit on the back burner for the next meeting, and in the meantime, pull some other documents and some information together and combine it or consolidate it so that we can send an email out and get the discussions going that way? Anyone? Okay, I'm guessing not. Well, maybe I will move to the second topic. And the second topic is the applicant support. There was a report provided by AM Global on the new GTLDs in the Global South Reflections on Research to Date, which was released on August 27th. And I just kind of did a quick overview on some of the items that we can open up the floor for discussion. So some of the feedback on it, on why there were, I think there were only three applications, was that there was, the information was confusing, it was dense or not accessible. And they had wished ICANN provided more information. The TLDs, I mean, the most companies, they were kind of focused on as opposed to individual type things. They wanted some more information on the category or TLDs on category of the vertical. And most of them saw it as a speculative investment. Additionally, there was no real sense of the true cost and or the cost of operations. I was quite surprised at the cost of operations. The concern on the benefit to existing brands and the confusion to customers, the infrastructure concerns, i.e. Power, diversified outreach that was needed, and the overall item of, you know, not to overlook the use of traditional media, not just online media, to provide information and or notice. And to make the information easier to understand, a lot of them, I think, found it quite technical and couldn't get the information that they were looking for. So kind of opening up the floor to ideas on how we can change it or add new processes or ideas to help future rounds on applicant support. Sorry, I'm missing some of the comments. Can you maybe catch me up on some of the comments? I'm missing some of them.
Okay, yes. I don't know if we could... I see that Michael asked, there was only one applicant, usually means the criteria for applicant support, correct? I believe Cecilia's comment above that was regarding our previous topic. So I was just trying to look at the Google document that we have to see some of the feedback that the discussion group had given on this as well.
Sorry, I missed you. Cecilia, if you want to go ahead.
Cecilia, we see your hand is up.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. Yes, I just wanted clarification when you say there were only three applications for applicant support. What does that mean?
Thanks, Christopher, for the record. I could be wrong on that. Maybe someone confirmed. I think there were only three parties who applied for applicant support in the 2012 round.
Okay, so you're saying that there was a process for applicants to apply for applicant support. I'm not familiar with this, so I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe three people did apply for applicant support, and I don't think any of them met the criteria to move forward. So really it was we didn't make any progress.
Okay, so there was a process where if somebody needed applicant support to clarify certain criteria, they could have applied for this, but none of them qualified. So nobody received applicant support. I just want to make sure I understand this screen here.
Sorry, it's Krista. It's and I'm trying to speak up louder because I see some people noted. It was for the actual application fee of $185,000.
Oh, okay, support as far as cost, Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
then,
thank you.
There were also consultants who would volunteer their time to help them in their support of their application and to help them out. So it was cost as well as some consulting time if people would do that.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, and as you Steve noted, I believe that three applied and one passed. Which was Doc Kibbs, as Michael pointed out. Michael, I see that you have your hand raised. Please go ahead.
Hey, Krista, thanks for the floor. So this is Michael Fleming with GMO. I just wanted to I think it would be really good to have some more background information on exactly what applicant support was, what the criteria was as well. I think this is an area that, I mean, well, a lot of us argue that it's for those regions that are underdeveloped regions, or however you want to phrase it, or perhaps those applicants that don't have the necessary support. I think it would be good to look at the necessary criteria as well in order to kind of get a better idea, because I don't think a lot of us know exactly what this is and how, for example, we should address it. Just more background information on there would just allow us to make a better decision and have better discussion in mind.
Thanks, Michael. I'm just trying to look it up also at the same time as Christopher for the transcript. Aubrey, I see that your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Aubrey speaking. Yes, there was really quite a complicated program, and it came out of a several-year joint working group, which was called Joint Applicant Support, because it was a joint working group before we did cross-community working groups regularly, curiously called JAZZ, a name that was later taken over by a different effort, but there was a whole group that made recommendations. These recommendations went to the board, and the board created its applicant support program. There's a whole set of guidelines and instruction manuals, you know, a handbook to tell people how to apply. Like, as with the community priority evaluation, it was a test of points. People had to get a certain number of points on certain questions. I don't off the top of my head remember the questions, although at the time I was quite immersed in this thing. There were several issues with it that people encountered. One, it happened very, very late in the program. It just came in a couple months before the applications started. We were fortunate that we went through enough rereadings and re-editings of the application guidebook, the draft application guidebook, so that it had time to develop. So the questions were hard. Anybody that's gone through these multiple choice questions, you had to actually pay some money. It wasn't a complete, support. So you had to put in I forget, the number may be wrong. I'm remembering something in the area of 40K, but I may be wrong. So take that with a big grain of salt. But it was a significant amount of money at a very late time in a program for people that were, you know, economically pressed. There had been very little prior outreach and such. The programs that some people, some groups tried to set up of giving non-material in-kind support had been around for a while. That was a different program. I don't know how much uptake that one got. Now, there was another thing. There was a penalty on applying for these programs. You've got to remember, at that time, we were very much at the height of, and not that we've necessarily left that period, where everybody's going to game this. So the penalty for failing was quite severe. I believe it was cancellation of the application, though, again, I need to remind myself and go back and read the SARP rules, the Special Applicant Support Program, to make sure I'm remembering the rules. So anyhow, I would recommend that we go back, we read that. If you go to the new GTLB's ICANN space, you look under Applicant Support Programs, the ASP, you'll find all kinds of documentation. And so you'll find that program. You'll also find descriptions of the access to the pro bono services that were being offered for startup registries. There was a belief at the time that there might be lots of people in developing countries starting registries, but when people like ALAC looked at, well, how come that didn't happen, it was the technological base was not well enough laid, you know, a couple years in advance. There weren't registrars in place, you know. The CCTLD registries in this place were not necessarily homegrown, but were, you know, likely somewhere in the north, the global north, et cetera. So the ground wasn't laid for lots of new registries forming then. That was one of the limitations. So there really is quite an involved history. There's many documents. There's a lot to be analyzed in it. And I apologize for not having perfect memory of it after these years, but there's a lot there. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. I provided a link and a few. I'll just quickly go through some of the criteria. I'm not going to go into reading the entire thing, but it was community-based project, public interest benefit, including support for distinct cultural, linguistic, or ethnic communities, as well as communities with a defined social need. Service in an underserved language, the presence of which on the Internet has been limited. Operation in a developing economy, advanced by a nonprofit, civil society, or non-governmental organizations in a manner consistent with the organization's social service mission. Operation by a not-for-profit organization, and finally, operation by a local entrepreneur or not-for-profit organization in a developing economy providing demonstrable social benefit. And each one of those had some points, obviously, associated with it, and there's some more financial criteria. So, and the points range from, they needed 5 out of 9 on the ones I just read, which is the public interest criteria. And they needed 3 out of the 5 points on the financial need. And the financial need was, I think, 3 items, which was operational environment, organizational size, project budget and funding resources, and the outreach for financial support. And then finally, the last category, which you needed to score 1 out of 2 points, was on financial capability criteria. And I'm going too far the first time, which was the last 2 items were basic financial capability to operate on an ongoing concern of the proposed registry, and finally previously executed projects. So that's the way it was actually evaluated, and no one actually met, I think, the criteria. And as discussed before, Steve, I think you mentioned the costs were around $47,000 all in. I'm sorry, I'm just reading the comments at the same time. He says, I do not believe the support extended beyond application either. Are you running the registry and paying registry fees? Aubrey, there may have been some first-year considerations, but I do not remember offhand. Thank you. So going back to some of the items, and I guess procedures moving forward, is there anything that we can include or we should discuss, include, for future rounds?
And I guess also if anyone sees pros or cons to having this sort of program, do you think that the fact that there are a limited number of registrars or registries in these areas is making it even more problematic? It seems from what I've known so far that there are, I guess, more resellers in some of these under-supported regions. I know this is sort of like a cyclical issue, but Michael, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks for the floor. And I haven't come to my own conclusion yet, and I'm just sticking my head out there. But I'm all for the idea of it having financial support for those parties that may not be economically stabilized to be able to apply for a TLD. In fact, I think this is the idea that we need to push. I think we need to have consider this highly with the aspect that ICANN perhaps did not go out to advertise or to make aware of the new GTLD program. I think this is one of those factors that needs to be considered along with that in that case. But at the same time, I think it's already written here that the information was confusing, dense, or not accessible. This is the first time, not the first time I've heard about this, of course, but I haven't really gone into detail into this aspect, but to me, it seems that we need to have something to provide that financial support for regions that are not able to, or those parties that are not able to apply of their own right, as long as it's not as, but we need to have that aspect. But at the same time, we still need to, don't we need to look at the criteria, or there's probably certain criteria for that we need to meet, for the community as well. I don't think it's just restricted to region, correct? Like I'm saying, this is what I need to go through my own studying on as well. But the main point of what I'm trying to say is that the process is too complicated for the applicant support itself, and it really doesn't seem very supportive itself. And I think everyone's coming in out in the chat that I need to do more background. So I'll do that before going down the line more. But I think this is something we need to kind of discuss to make something more simple. But there's another point here that another aspect in the slide that I wanted to ask about. It says concern on benefit to existing brands, confusion to customers. Are we looking at support for brand applicant support for brands perhaps as well? This is just a question.
It's Christophe for the transcript. Michael, I don't think it's just for brands, but I think it was on how they would apply a string to their company and what would be kind of the benefit to that. And then answering your other question, it sounds like from the AMG consulting presentation that it was very technical on any inquiries that somebody might have had and not kind of like a high level, here it is. So, but I would encourage you to read, their presentation was a pretty quick read, and it kind of will answer, I think, some of your questions pretty quickly. Jeff, I think I see your hand raised. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. I would, I know that the CCT review team is looking at this issue too, so I'm very curious to see, you know, their thoughts. I believe they're trying to do a survey of those who may not have applied. I'm not sure how they're doing that, but they certainly are doing a bunch of work on this. One of the things that I would love to do, and Aubrey mentioned the joint applicant support, there was a group that looked at that, worked pretty hard on developing this program. I would love to see if we could, you know, get some of the people that worked pretty hard on that, on setting up the program, to get their thoughts as to kind of a postmortem on the whole process, to see what they believe worked the way they thought it would or didn't work the way they thought it would. I think that would be beneficial. This also may be a good topic to bring up in Hyderabad, in the sense that this was an issue with the GAC, and maybe one of those where some people who attend that meeting could provide some valuable impact, input into what we should consider in a joint applicant support program. Finally, I think, and I'm not sure if this was mentioned already, but one of the penalties for applying for the joint applicant support and not getting it was that your application failed completely. So I think that's one thing we need to look at as a group, to say, well, someone applies for joint applicant support, for applicant support, and doesn't qualify, should that automatically disqualify their entire application? I personally don't think it should, but that's something I think we need to discuss as a group. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I wonder if we should maybe open the floor to that on why, whether we think they should be disqualified now, or does anyone have any thoughts on that before we move forward? I'd hate to jump to the next topic with less than 10 minutes left. So perhaps we can start on this. We'll just get some preliminary thoughts that we can include, and then go on to the third topic for the next meeting instead.
Yeah, I can add a little on that. It wasn't a train of thought that I agreed with, and you know, I should take off sort of the co-chair hat here and mention that I was part of that jazz group, although at a certain point I didn't follow through with it quite as much as some others did. And got into some very strong arguments with people on the council about the work in that jazz group at one point in time. But one of the arguments that came up was not only in the framing, that it went to the other side that sort of said, hey, if you need this money and you can't do it without this money, then what does it mean to go ahead if you don't get the money? Now, of course, that, you know, looking at, so that there's logic in that argument, except that you don't look at the fact that people can keep fundraising and can not have the money at you know, time one, but then manage to raise some at time four. So, you know, there are other problems that, yes, you might be able to come up with the money, but it means that you've got no money for the building development of your community center. So those kinds of calculations weren't taken in. It was a very flat calculation. If you got the money to pay, you got to pay. If you don't have the money, and it wasn't taking into account the very different financial structures that you have from someone in the global north within that corporate structure, within the prices we pay for everything, and then looking at the incomes, the profit margins, and so on of developing economy companies, where they could have as good an idea for a GTLD, but there isn't the prospect of getting rich off it, because the population they serve, the community they serve, is not as rich as the community served by others. So there's a lot of financial considerations that were part of it. There's lots of technical preparedness, et cetera. But I just want to, and then I'll put my hat back on as co-chair. I want to be very careful of pointing out when it's the fan of an idea speaking, and I was a very strong supporter of applicant support. And so anything I say should be colored by that knowledge. Thanks.
Thanks, Harvey. I think one of the topics or one of the items that's included in the NG consulting item is it seems to really focus on, or it seems to focus a little more so on universal acceptance and the developing economies, which seems to make a lot of sense, but and it kind of ties into how do you target them in the most effective way as well. So it'd be interesting to see how we can kind of overcome those hurdles moving forward. And I guess getting some ideas around that is kind of critical to determining that. So any other ideas?
This is Sarah Bakke for the record. And I sort of falls in line with what we've been speaking to, and it was one of the questions that as part of our Google Docs, our Google document on this topic, was the idea that the applicant programs could be extended to capacity building programs. And so sort of what's the word I'm looking for? Bringing those two together might be a means for it as well. And then based on that, you could figure out what the criteria would be. Any thoughts on that?
Everyone's afraid to talk. Oh, Donna, please go ahead.
Thanks, Sarah. I think it does make sense to integrate the capacity building efforts as well. You know, I think this is a really tricky topic for discussion because there's, you know, many different aspects to it. You know, one of the things we saw, you know, formerly at ARI with Dr. Shabaka, which was one of the first IDNs that was delegated. And I think if you look at the numbers, you'll see it wasn't particularly successful. One of the things we tried to do was, you know, have a full IDN experience, but that became complicated because registrars didn't support Arabic, particularly originally when we started. And, you know, one of the realizations was is that there actually wasn't a great demand for strings at the second level in Arabic for an Arabic TLD. So, and there has been quite a bit of work going on in that region, courtesy of Behar and a couple of other ICANN staff members, in raising awareness and doing some capacity building around DNS activities. But I'm not sure it actually rises to the level where you could actively say with some level of, I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. But actually, you know, if you're looking at the application, whether you could say whether that string would be sustainable in the longer term, and that, you know, in my mind would be something that you'd have to consider. So I think there's a number of elements to this. It's not just about providing money and support for the application itself, but I think there's some ongoing requirements and trying to understand what is going to lead to, you know, a sustainable product at the end of the day. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. It's Krista for the record. I think you raised a really great point on the money and support. Even if we do the applicant support for the initial application, then how are we going to support them beyond that so that they can be successful in the long term? So, great point. I think we're coming kind of close. We've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that we need to bring up before we close, or?
No, I think we're doing pretty good. I did see one comment from Justine Chu saying capacity building would require resources. Is there any possibility to reduce complexity, meet halfway? So, again, that's very good points to raise. But I think we are getting very close to the top of the hour, so it's probably a good place to draw a line under this conversation. Does anyone else have any other business that they'd like to discuss before we run out of our time? I see some more comments here in the chat.
Terry's got a great one. It's the next meeting. The next meeting is October 18th, which is a Tuesday at 1500 UTC. So, piping. Okay. This will close out a minute earlier. Oh, I'll let you close up, Sarah. Go ahead.
Not a problem, not a problem. Rocky, for the record. So it looks like we are at a stopping place, and we will let you all go for the evening, or the morning, or the afternoon, wherever it is, time zone. Thank you so much for joining and participating in this discussion. We do appreciate it. And we will get some items out to the list to continue our discussion on the email list. So we look forward to everyone participating there as well. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.